Now, before I speak this morning, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19. I want to read from verse 1 to verse 10. And I also got another high schooler, Kendra, to come and read to us. There's something about a young voice and a harsh old man voice. Come. Okay, turn to Luke chapter 19.
He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone into the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone or anything, I will restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has came to seek to save the lost."
Thank you very much. Well done, huh? Don't you think she like Norman, the father, the voice is so soothing. Verse 10, Jesus said, "I came to seek those that are lost." Am I lost? Have you ever asked yourself, am I lost? When we first read this, it looks as if it doesn't really speak to us because I'm not lost. Have you ever been lost? Lost in the middle of the highway. How many of you have? I have. My wife and me trying to find our way through Sydney. I driving, she's looking at the map, and then she make a mistake, and I make noise, and then she closed the map and said, "That's it." So I told myself, since I cannot replace my wife, you know, at least I can replace her, the map with a GPS. So I use a GPS from then onward. But you know, you can still be lost with a GPS. You know, we were in Sydney and we said, "Let's go to Blue Mountains, the Three Sisters." And we pressed the Three Sisters. And the GPS brought us from Bitterman Road, it went to Dirt Road. And somehow, my wife asked me, "Are you sure?" The GPS cannot be wrong. It must be right. So we keep on driving, and it was dirt road. And the most surprising thing that we went up a hill that was so narrow, just enough for one car to go up. And right to the top of the hill, we could see the Three Sisters. But it was a challenge coming down because you have to reverse the car. And if you look down, the cliff is just below. Just a little mishap, we will be with Jesus. Lost in the middle of a bushwalk, I have, with my wife again. And what do we see the next moment? A snake. Lost in the crowd. Sometimes, you know, we can be in a crowd, even in the church. We can feel lost in the conversation that people have, you know. And lost your temper, I have. Lost for words, that's a challenge. Some people are so good that they always have the last say. But lost for words, I have. Lost your kid in the shopping center, I have. We just arrived to Perth, just migrated over, and we were in the Wilford Shopping Center walking on the night, and all of a sudden we turn around, my son is gone. You could see the panic that is in my wife. I don't know why women always panic. I think men do, but we try not to show it. And we could not find him. Went to the car park, could not find him. After a while, the announcement, we found a boy. Have anybody lost a boy? I lost my son once. Have I ever lost my daughter? Yes, I have. Also in the shopping center. But this one is in Singapore. You think that Perth Shopping Center is busy, go to the Singapore one. And walking, turn around, she disappeared. We could not find her anywhere. And I tell you, when you lose the children in Singapore, and then when you hear about people, children being, you know, kidnapped, and how their hands are being cut, they become beggar, you panic. So I decided that I would go down to the car park below. And who do I find? My daughter there, standing next to the car. What an experience. Thank God I have not lost my mind or my heart yet. Loss is a very frightening experience. Lost soul, lost money, lost opportunity, lost cause. And maybe some of us here, we suffer lost ears. I'm sure they always regret, I should have done this, I should have done that. Lost years. It's a frightening experience because when you feel lost, fear and anxiety sinks in. The worst is that cold sweat comes in. But some people do not realize they are lost. They never realize they are lost until something, a crisis that hits them. Then lostness becomes so confronting before their eyes. Loss. To be lost is to wander away and to be helpless to find your way back. When you are hiking, you can get lost and you took the wrong path and you do not know how to return to the right path. A child can be lost when they wander too far from the parents and does not know where they are. The Bible talks about loss. Human beings spiritually are lost without God. That's why we like this song, Amazing Grace. The song that we sang many times that said, I once was what? Was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So when you look at the word lost in the Bible context and in the Christian context, it talks about a person who have not found eternal life. A person that has no relationship with Christ. To the lost, to such a person, Jesus said this, with a message of hope, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God came to seek for the lost. The act of God seeking for the lost is always in God. Since the very beginning in the book of Genesis, you know, when Adam and Eve sinned against God through their disobedience, they hide. God came to find them. He did not punish them. He showed up in the garden and seek for them, and he wanted to save them. He never condemned them, but with a gentle voice, he said, where are you? Are you lost? Wow. How about Moses? Moses had lost dream, lost years, you know, lost destiny. He was in the wilderness looking after his father-in-law flock. Forgotten, you know, and all alone. Yet God remembered him and sought him, found him with a burning bush and called out to him, Moses, Moses. Jesus came to seek the lost. When we read and hear from this passage about this man called Zacchaeus, The man who climbed the tree, the man who climbed the tree in order to see Jesus. Most of us will say, I'm not Zacchaeus. I'm not lost. I have found Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Interestingly, we were lost. We did not find Jesus. Jesus what? Found us. Jesus is never lost. Amen. We are the one who lost, and Jesus was the one who found us. So the first expression of the word lost is a person without God. Zacchaeus was such a person, a child of the covenant, but he is out of the covenant. His name was called pure and righteous. You know, when you are born, your parents give you a name, and usually your parents give you a good name to reflect some character out of you. And you hope, you know, if your name was bright, that you become bright. If your name was honest, you become an honest person. You hope that you are able to live to that name. So Zacchaeus has a name given by his parents. His parents hope that he will be what? Pure and righteous. But Zacchaeus was far from him. He was far from what his parents had called him to be. Imagine each time when someone called his name, Zacchaeus, in his heart, I'm supposed to be pure and righteous, but I'm not. I'm far from him. I don't know about you, but he must have a deep sense of guilt and shame, and something must have sent into his heart and his mind that when he looked at himself, have you ever been that place before? You look at yourself and you say, oh, oh my, I don't like what I see. If you have this thought and this feeling in you, I want you to know Jesus seeks for those that are lost. If you feel this morning that you're not living to your potential, he has called you to be the head and not the tail, but you seem to be the tail all the time. I want you to know Jesus seeks the lost. If you feel that this morning you're not an overcomer, you seem defeated and your head is down, I want you to know Jesus came to seek the lost. If you are not living in fullness, always having not enough, life is a struggle to you. I want you to know Jesus came to seek the lost. And if you are not living to who God has called you to be in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that Jesus came to seek the lost. He came to seek the lost, to reposition them, refire them, to give them a hope and a future. If you are lost and are lost, Jesus seek the lost. Zacchaeus saw himself, I am lost. And not only that, others see him and say, you are a lost person. You are a lost cause. The religious leader look at him and say, you are a tax collector. Not only just a tax collector, a chief tax collector, an outcast. The religious leader see him as a lost person. Lost out of the covenant of Abraham. In fact, they look at him and they put him in the same box as an unbeliever and as a prostitute. Therefore, to Zacchaeus, there is no hope. He's an outcast of society. Zacchaeus is lost. The first expression of loss describes Zacchaeus can make and give us a false impression of yourself. You can look at yourself and look at Zacchaeus and make a comparison and say, I'm okay. I'm not lost. I'm doing well. I'm well. It is well with me. Jesus came to seek the lost. I'm not lost. I have found Jesus. I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But yet, there's other three expressions in the New Testament for the word lost. The first expression for the word lost is misplaced. Out of place, wandering and going astray like the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. In Hebrew, The word lost means what? To waste your life. If you're not living your life for God, if you're not living your life for a purpose, if you're just surviving, you are actually fact wasting your what? Wasting your life. This is what the prodigal son did. He wastes his life, his money, his inheritance, his future on wine, woman, and song. He wastes his life on self-living, self-pleasure, and temporary stuff. He wasted his life, you know, and he has no preparation or no thought of tomorrow. Life is too precious. How many lives do you have? Only one life. That life that lived for Jesus Christ is the one that counts. The life that live for yourself will come to nothing. James said in chapter 4, verse 14, what is life? He said, life is like a vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist, a morning fog. It is visible for a while and then disappear. It is gone into thin air. That's what life. I thought I just hear him this morning, but then he's gone. Have you ever experienced that? Someone you just saw, have a conversation, the next moment, he's gone. What is life? Life is too short. Too short to live for temporary things. You heard this phrase, don't blow your life away. Or that life is like a water. Once it's poured into the ground, once poured, it cannot be gathered. It is gone for good forever. This is what the prodigal son is. He was misplaced. He was not in the right position of sonship. He was not fulfilling his purpose. He was wasting his life. He was the lost son. And then, when you use the word lost, you don't have to be physically lost. Have you ever talked to someone? You're not with me. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? People do not have to be lost physically. They can be lost emotionally and spiritually. How far do you have to be lost? How far? Just one step away, I can be lost. Just one thought, I can be lost. Just one decision, one choice, I can be misplaced. Life is too short with too much uncertainty for you to be misplaced or lost, or to stay misplaced and lost. To live your life for yourself, the wisest thing for you to do is to give your life to Jesus and live your life for Jesus. Live with eternity in front of you. A little girl was asked why she was working so very hard. She replied, my candle is almost burnt out and I have not got another one. If you see life as a candle, sometime that candle that is burning, sometime there can be a thief that comes and blow out the candle. It could be a sickness, a disease. It could suddenly be gone. And some people, when you waste your life, you are burning the candle on what? Both ends. I want to live my life wisely. How about you? I want to live my life wisely with only one intention, to please only one person, not my wife, Jesus Christ. Because I know if I please Jesus Christ, I should please her. If I please Jesus Christ and cannot please her, something is wrong with her. I'm okay. I mean, don't you think so? If you love God and she loves God and you please God, she should be pleased. And that's what for yourself and for your family and for your children. Only one life, living for Jesus. To those that are misplaced, this is what Jesus said. Follow me, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. Say the word restore. When God said, I'm going to restore, it's not what the world say, the word say, I will restore you means I will bring you back to its original place. But when God say, I will restore, means it's going to be greater and higher. It's going to be above and beyond the original condition. Are you misplaced? Not in the place where God wants you to be. This morning, I want you to receive your restoration to what you have lost in Jesus Christ. The second expression for the word loss is overload. Overburdened, overcharged, weighed down, clogged, excess. Have you heard of this expression? I've been so busy, I have too much on my plate, I'm like a chick without a head. I have no time, I'm lost. I'm just going, doing, but I'm lost. Such a person is an overloaded person. Such a person's life is too crowded with too many things, and sometimes even the good things can overcrowd your life. Excess is never healthy for the body, for the soul, and for the spirit. Why am I overloaded? Priority. We don't put the first thing first. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you are just trying to keep on getting what you want in order to think that what I get, what I want, I will be happy. You will be overcrowded. Because life contentment is having Jesus and enjoying what Jesus has given to you. If you have much, praise the Lord. You have little, you can still be happy. Say amen to that. There's like contentment. You know, to the person whose life is overcrowded, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 20. You fool! You are unwise, you are silly, you are blockhead. To a person whose life is overloaded, Jesus said, you are salt that's lost its favor, useless and good for nothing. Overload is dangerous. Don't live your life overloaded. You remember there was a time in our church, every time when you switch on, when you use the microwave in the kitchen, something will get shot. You remember those times? Something, pow, no light, something. Then I discovered the reason was that there are three main wires. One of them has too many load. And I have to get an electrician to come and adjust it so that all the wires is equally distributed in load. The same with life. The same with life. You need to have priority. You need to live your life with the least distraction and live your life by living on course. If not, you will get short circuit by the care and the waste of life. I'm telling you, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the necessity. The Father above that look after the sparrow will look after you. The COVID-19 has come and is still brooming in the air, but you are safe and sound. You have not lost your job. Some of you are so blessed. So why worry about the cares of life when you have someone who cares for you? You see, when you worry, you're going to be overloaded. Overloaded with anxiety, worry, and worries and fear. It drains your peace, your joy, your strength. And so you need to live your life and say, Lord, I know how much I can take, and I will not take too much. Say amen to that. And one of the things you have to do in life is to be able to say no. No. Say the word no. Sometimes it's very difficult. And what do you need to say? You need to say no to overtime. Sunday belongs to God. Say amen. Say no to overtime. No to unnecessary burden. No to the care and the pleasure of life. For all these things are going to be a rope and a yoke around your neck. And very soon, you will miss the joy of living. And your face won't have the smile of life. Has your life lost its smile? When was the last time you smiled? We don't have to be like the weather out there. Say amen. I just came back from Melbourne. Thank God Melbourne weather is terrible. We were there 1 week. Most of the day was gloomy. I don't need to be like the weather Christian. Say amen. I can have a smile because I know that the Bible said that whatever is my care, I can cast all my cares upon Him for what? He cared for me. So I don't have to be overloaded. To the overloaded, Jesus said this, "Follow me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is His promise. Come to me. Give me your burden. Don't take it. The third expression is the word lost, is the word worn out. Worn out due to poor and not properly maintained. Life needs maintenance. There's a time to work. You cannot just work, and work without maintenance. There's a time for everything. A time to sleep, a time to wake up, a time to work, a time for rest, a time for exercise. Amen. And I love that exercise. A time for family, a time for friend, a time for yourself. A time for God. And you need to have all of them in order to have a balanced life. But the demand of work may cause you and cause many to be worn out. Today we use this word burnout. No reserve. Living on empty tank. Do you ever feel like this? After a busy day, you are worn out. You wonder what you have really been doing or what you have really achieved for today. You are stressed out like a chicken without a head. Like in the pressure cooker. You do not know whether you are going or coming. Like a wreck on the wheel. And you keep going even when you are worn out. How many have done that? Because of what? Because of commitment. Because of demand. Because of responsibility. You keep on going until one day something snaps. I know what snap? Usually you lose your what? Your cool. You lose your temper. And who do you lose it to? To your poor wife. To your poor children. To your good pastor. To your friends. And something snap because you are going. To those that are worn out, stop. Take a breath. Have a break. Relax, rest, and refresh yourself with the oil of the Spirit. Psalm 23 verse 5, "You anoint my head with oil." Psalm 92 verse 10, "I am anointed with fresh oil." I know what it is to be worn out. I know what it is to just keep on going because of responsibility. I don't know about you, but the lockdown in February was one of the best part of my life. I don't know about you, where I could do nothing, just stay at home, read the Bible, spend time with God, wake up in the morning, what for breakfast, 10 o'clock, what for tea break. 12 o'clock, what for lunch? 3 o'clock, what for tea break? 6 o'clock, what for dinner? Life was good. I mean, it was really unstressing. of this worn out, this overload. Sometimes we need to take that time. To those that are worn out, Jesus said, follow me. He said, are you tired, worn out? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. Nice picture. You'll recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I don't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. So, if you look at the word lost that describes Zacchaeus, many of us will say, I'm not. I'm okay. I'm actually pretty doing very well. But if you look at the other meaning for the word loss, one that is misplaced, wasting your life, not for eternity, for something that is temporary. One that is overloaded, so much thing, so crowded. One that is worn out. Then, when Jesus said, I come to seek for those that are lost. I want you to know, many of us sitting here can at least put up our hand to one of them. But Jesus said, why? I'm here. Jesus said, I'm here to find those that are misplaced. I'm here to find those that are overloaded. I'm here to find those who are worn out. And I'm going to give you rest. I want you to learn from me. I want you to be like Zacchaeus, who was willing to climb that tree, who was willing to see, to say, what can I do? What can I find? Who can I meet this Jesus? So that Zacchaeus climbed a tree, he met Jesus, Jesus came into his house, and that's one thing we know. Joy filled his heart, and his life is changed. This morning, let's bow our head. When Jesus said, I come to seek those that are lost. I find the lost, I want to restore them. Maybe you are saying, I'm not like Zacchaeus that doesn't know you. I know you. But I know you, Lord, but I'm still doing my own things, doing my own way, trying so hard by myself with my own ability and strength. And because of that, Lord, I get tired. I get overloaded. And Lord, as I do more and more, I'm worn out. He's saying to you, follow me. Follow me. Trust me. Rely on me. And let me give rest to you. Put all your cares, your worry, your anxiety, your concern in my hand. Give me your burden. Give me your weight. Give me your excess. And then take the breath of my spirit, the rhythm of my grace. I do not force on you, but I will release it to you. When you just say, Lord, I stand before you, tired, worn out. I stand before you and asking you, help me to recover my life. I want real rest. I want to walk with you, work with you. I want to keep company with you. I want to live my life freely and lightly. I want to have my heart filled with your joy, to have the smile back in my life, to take things lightly and not be so caught up and not be so eaten up, but just to say, God, I trust you. I have done my best. I'm just trusting you to see me through. This morning, would you lift your hand to him and say, God, I release it to you. I release all the cares, all the worries, all the anxiety of my own life, my health, my children, even my grandchildren, oh God. I release it to you, and Lord, you know everything. I do not want to be overloaded. I do not want to be misplaced. I do not want to be worn out. I want to live my life in fullness, for you have come to give life and life more abundantly. I want, God, to live my life with the joy of God in my heart. I want to live my life with your strength, with your spirit, with your life, oh God. Lord, you see those hands. Breathe upon them. Holy Spirit, I ask, anoint their head afresh with the anointing of your grace, that they are able to soar like an eagle. Give them the strength to flex their wings. Give them the strength, of God, to look up and begin to soar up. For they will not be weary, for they will not be tired. They will be recharged with the anointing of your oil, burning in their hearts with strength from above. I ask this in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me?